So it's that time of year. Love is in the air. Everybody's with their significant other. And it's that time of year where people look for that advice on, you know, what they should be doing with their significant other and what things they should be doing for Valentine's Day. And as usual, I won't be giving you any of that. But I will let you know some game, a little something. And because a lot of people ask me, like, what do I look for in an ideal mate? You know, what is my ideal woman? My ideal diamond? Well, if you listen, I'll tell you. I mainly want like about six things out of my ideal woman. About six. And I'm gonna run them down. First of all, she gotta look good. She gotta have some look to her. She gotta have a nice body, cute face, you know. She gotta be able to turn heads, you know. You look at her, you're like, oh, that's the one. That's one of those right there. It's got to be something about her that makes you look at her and want to know more. Second, she got to have a nice personality. Once she draws you in with the looks, she has to be able to, you know, keep you interested. You know, she has to have something to say, you know. So a pretty girl with nothing to say is like talking to a wall. Or a painting. The painting looks pretty, but you can't talk to the painting. You can only look at it. It looks beautiful, but that's no fun. Third, you are ready. We gotta have that sexual chemistry, that attraction. You know, she looking good. Her mouthpiece is good. And that other, you know, that other mouthpiece is good. You know, that sexual attraction gotta be there. That sexual chemistry gotta be there. She gotta know what she's doing in the bedroom, you know. Now, gotta be able to bond on that level. Then once, you know, she draws you in, the personality is right, the sex is bomb. Fourth, we gotta be able to connect on a spiritual level, you know? We gotta be able to take it here sometimes, talk about complex things. She might be on her around the way girl thing. We gotta be able to go down here sometimes. Bad and bougie. Y'all seen the video? Those type chicks, them bad and bougie chicks. They can get raw and dirty sometimes. And when they need to, they can help you close the deal on a home, you know? Them bad and bougie type girls. And fifth, says she gotta look good. She gotta have a nice personality. The sex gotta be a bomb. The connection on a spiritual level. With the ability to take it high or low. You know what fifth is. She gotta be able to get drippy. We go out or something. I'm not saying she gotta wear stilettos every day or she gotta wear Chanel every day or Gucci and all that. But I'm saying she gotta be able to know how to put it together. So when we go out, we looking good. We on the town. People look, they like, and they're like, yo, that's a nice looking couple right there. They look like they belong together. Somebody that can match my fresh, you know? I like to design clothes. I like to wear other people's clothes. I like to get clean when I go out. So I need a girl that can, you know, get clean with me. Or she could throw on some of her favorite kicks and some tights and still look good. Still turn the heads. because she just know how to put it together. She got that style, you know, wear her hair all kind of ways and stuff. Maybe she might color it, put it in two ponytails, go to the salon, get it done. She might throw some braids in that thing, you know. She just know how to put all that stuff together and just look good. So she gotta look good. She gotta have a nice personality. The sex gotta be bomb. We gotta be able to connect up here and there on a spiritual level. And the style gotta be there. So what caps off my ideal girl? You're like, what more would you want? That's five perfect things. But she gotta know how to go out there and hustle. She gotta know how to grind with me. And I'm not saying I want her to grind and her to have money and then she spend her money on me. But she has to show me that she has the ability to go out there and get it if she had to. If she had to. She probably wouldn't have to if she's my girl. You know? We'd go out there and get it together, you know? We'd think of ways to get that bag together. And she don't really need me, but the team would be a lot better than one of us. I like women like that. So let's recap that. She gotta look good. Body, face, whatever. It's gotta look good, you know. Gotta be attractive. She gotta have a nice personality. She has to keep me interested. After she drew me in with all those good looks. The sex gotta be crazy. To keep me there, you know. As well as connected on the spiritual level. And then once all that's tied in, she gotta have style. She gotta be able to get to the bag. And you know what's coming. That's the diamond rating system right there. The six attributes that I will be rating diamonds with in the future. And I won't rate any today, you know. But I'll just give you a few sixes off top. A few of my favorite sixes. Of course, we got the Rose Red La Cubana. You know she's a six. She got all those. She dance, she get to the bag, she look good, she sexy. You know I had to put Red Rose, La Cubana, on that six level. She's a six goddess. Another six goddess is my girl Chanel. Y'all know her as Roxy Reynolds. Chanel, perfect. Perfect chick right there. She's definitely a six. Perfect diamond. Glistening, shining. Another one of my favorite sixes is Cherokee. Come on, man. Who don't love Cherokee? Definitely a six. Another six. It's Kima. Kima Russo. Another six right there. Bomb. She has all the attributes. I named them already. You don't know what the six attributes are? You rewind this and you go back. Tell me if I'm lying. Kima Russo. And I can go on and on for days. But another one I like. One of those Gonzalez twins. You know what I'm talking about. Dil Gonzalez. She's a six. Definitely. Now, I know most of these girls probably in relationships. No disrespect. Pardon me, my guy. But I just gotta let the G's and D's know what I think a six is. You know? Ain't mean nothing by it. But, and I know it. Somebody looking at it like, you got a lot of dancers and athletes on that list. You like dancers and athletes? I mean, I'm not saying that's my prototype, but I lean more toward that. They're like, well, could you date a dancer or could you date a athletic girl? Yeah. I mean, I've talked to a couple, and I flirted with a few and a couple. I won't really name them. But I name a few of my crutches that I had when I was, growing up, when I was younger. When I was in high school, I used to be in gym class, and I used to hoop with a girl named Dee Dee. She was an athlete. She was like the... you watch Love and Basketball, the Sanaa Lathan type character. She was like the Sanaa Lathan of our high school. And we used to always have gym together. We used to always hoop together. I used to kill her though. She was like one of the best woman players. So I say girl or woman players in the whole city. But I used to give her the business because, I was like top five in my school, but I wasn't in the squad. But, I had that. Had that sauce. But another one I had a little like flirty crush on was when I went to school at LIU. It's a girl named Dayla. And all these girls gonna laugh when they see this because they know how we used to flirt and how we used to have our little games and stuff, how we used to like talk to each other and stuff. But so I said, if they got families and they relationships, pardon me, my guy, no disrespect. she was a nice, cute one, too. Her name was Dayla. She used to hoop on the squad. And she used to dance and stuff. Nice little cute chick, like one of those Queens girls, I think she was from Queens or Jersey. She was from one of the two. I don't remember. School was a blur to me. I was a party dude. I threw a lot of parties. I can't remember everything. Blame the mind, not the heart. Blame the mind, not the heart. And used to have a lot of fun back then, man. And speaking of great women. Congratulations to Woman of the Year, Vixen the Assassin. She definitely did her thing this year. I know people saying she only had two battles, and a lot of them argue that one of them was could have went either way. The one that she had with Lady Flames. But she had the popular vote because she had just killed DNA. DNA fired up. But she killed DNA in that Kings vs. Queens. And I was really looking forward to seeing that Kings vs. Queens part 2. She was supposed to battle Loso. Well, she is going to battle Loso. But she was supposed to battle him on February 13th. It ain't go down. And if you follow the URL, I'm not saying anything new. If you follow the Ultimate Rap League, you know it was postponed. You know why. And if you don't, go hit them up and ask them. They know. And but the thing that's crazy is it was supposed to be this weekend, which is usually All-Star Weekend. And they postponed it till March 7th. Which strangely enough is the day of the All-Star Game. So that's just the universe saying, yo, we wanted this event to coincide with Love and Basketball. And since we couldn't have love, the universe chose basketball. Which... I mean, that's a no-brainer. Who don't love basketball? And I'm still looking forward to that, man. That's going to be a goodie. And I already said what my picks was. And we're going to see what it do that day. And another battle I wanted to go see was Chocolate Drop versus Fisticuffs. And I'm saying it's Chocolate Drop versus Fisticuffs because you know who got his show back. So Fisticuffs might come out of retirement, you know? And like I said, man, I wanted to battle Chocolate Drop, but I don't think I'm going to give Chocolate Drop that shot unless he got to go through Fisticuffs first. So if he beat Fisticuffs, I'll take Chocolate Drop. They never battle. You probably never see me battle Chocolate Drop. So hit Chocolate Drop up and tell him that he need to battle Fisticuffs. And he get through Fisticuffs, I'll take him. And so glad to see that Dave got his shit back, yo. That was definitely a good thing, you know? And y'all know what I'm talking about. He put out a little PSA, a little public service announcement, you know, thanking everybody that made it possible. And matter of fact, let's watch it. Might as well watch that thing, you know? Let's see. Let's see what it's doing up here, man. Let's watch this thing. All right, Dave. Rewind that.
All power and glory go to God.
All right.
All greatness is from God.
Okay. I feel that.
When a hero stumbles, well, the cowards rejoice.
Preach.
Nothing feels.
Wait, you hear that? When a hero stumbles, the cowards rejoice. Let me bring that back. That's deep.
Better to a cow. When a hero stumbles, well, the cowards rejoice. Nothing feels better to a coward than to watch a brave guy fall. Now, you guys might have seen in the news that I caught coronavirus recently, and then I did.
Damn, kid. I know that.
I did. Because in the beginning of the pandemic, I talked to a guy in the live entertainment business and I said, when can we go back to work? He said, probably sometime in 2022. And I said, there's no fucking way I can wait that long. And I just tried to find a way that I could work. You see what we've been doing.
Yeah, because comedians, that's really how they get their bread on the road. So, hey. It is what it is, man.
All of you who had it sometime in 2022 when I said, there's no fucking way I can wait that long. And I just tried to find a way that I could work. You see what we've been doing. All of you who had to endure this invasive test and wear these masks just so we could be out and hang out and be together. I tried.
Yeah, I heard those tests is crazy. I haven't taken a test. I heard they dig all up in your nose and take a piece of your brain out and all type of shit, yo. So he was doing a lot to get his money. So you gotta commend him.
All of you who had to endure this invasive test and wear these masks just so we could be out and hang out and be together, I tried. And after all these months, after doing all these shows, God damn it, my number was up, and then I had the Rona. Oh. Well. Cowards rejoice at a time like this because they're so invested in being afraid. And when I said I had the coronavirus, the overwhelming majority of people wished me well. Said, we hope you get better. Take care of yourself. We don't want anything bad to happen to you. But then...
Can you imagine if Dave Chappelle would have died of that shit? Yo, that would have been some... I don't even want to talk about that. Let's get back to it.
It was a fact. When I said I had the coronavirus, the overwhelming majority of people wished me well. Said, we hope you get better. Take care of yourself. We don't want anything bad to happen to you. But there was a faction of people, the cowards, who said, you see that, Dave Chappelle? That's why we stay inside where it's safe. And we never try anything. Hmm. Well, enjoy yourselves, motherfuckers, because I'm better now.
All right.
Years ago, a man named Edward Snowden came to notoriety. Do you remember him?
Right.
Edward Snowden was a whistleblower.
I think he live in like Russia now. Yo, you gotta be brave to like go at the cats he go at. Yo, that's wild. He had to go move to a whole different country.
Years ago, a man named Edward Snowden came to notoriety. Do you remember him? Edward Snowden was a whistleblower. How people feel about him is a split decision. Is he good or is he bad? Was he right or was he wrong? I don't know. What he did was he detailed a government program where our government, the United States government, was spying on its own citizens.
It's crazy.
And when he did that, people didn't really care. If you remember at that time, we were prosecuting a war on terror, and my God, what if these terrorists are living amongst us? We have to do something if they spy on some of us. I mean, who has anything to hide?
Basically, everybody's spying on us. I mean, your information's all over the place, so it's no telling who owns these companies, no telling what kind of information is being sold. So at some point, you got to say, fuck it. Just take it, man. You're going to take it anyways, or buy it from somebody anyways. So really don't even matter.
Remember that we were prosecuting a war on terror, and my God, what if these terrorists are living amongst us? We have to do something if they spy on some of us. I mean, who has anything to hide? Remember that. Years later, after Michael Brown got killed and riots broke out in American cities and Ferguson and all these places, you heard black Americans saying they're militarizing our police departments and no one cared.
Yeah, when they say they're militarizing the police department, they're not saying that they turn the police department to soldiers. They're saying that they're treating us like they're at war with us, the civilians, the people. So it's like, they're treating us the same way they would treat a country that they were at war with, G's and D's. So when you hear militarizing the police department, that doesn't mean like they're giving them like tanks and stuff. Or in some cases, they do have tanks, and they do have rams to knock doors down. But they're just saying that they're treating us like a country of people that they don't even know.
In Ferguson and all these places, you heard black Americans saying they're militarizing our police departments, and no one cared because the unrest was so uncomfortable and so daunting, and well, these Negroes look so angry. Nobody said anything. Remember that. On January 6th...
Wait. January 6th is my birthday. That's just so crazy about this, but keep going.
Well, nobody said anything. Remember that. On January 6th, well, American citizens stormed the Capitol. You know, I'm from Washington, D.C. A lot of my friends growing up are Capitol Hill police officers. I said, what did you do that day? What did we do? We were kicking crackers down the steps like motherfucking 300, nigga.
I just get that whole vision of when a dude got kicked in that pit. You see motherfuckers falling back with the flag, man.
I said, what did you do that day? Hilarious. What did we do? We were kicking crackers down the steps like motherfucking 300, nigga. Trying to save our country.
Meow, meow.
Watch the tapes. Watch that crowd that told Colin Kaepernick he can't kneel during a football game, try to beat a police officer to death with an American flag. Look at that shit. Take that nigga lesson. Take this nigga lesson. What was that with Snowden talking about?
Take that nigga lesson. Nigga lesson, if y'all know what that is. Dave elaborates on the nigga lesson all the time. It's the lesson that black people have also often come to encounter. And most people that aren't black, they really don't have to go through some of the things we have to go through. So when they finally go through it, Dave calls that the nigga lesson.
Wow. Take that nigga lesson. Take this nigga lesson. What was that with Snowden talking about? Who is the terrorist now that they're looking for? It's you, not me, not my black Muslim ass. It's you. Who are they militarizing the police for? They didn't call the National Guard on my black ass. It's nope. You. That's what white people did. They felt what black people have been feeling for 400 years, for 30 minutes, stormed the Capitol and rubbed their shit on the walls. They carried a fucking Confederate flag through the rotunda. The Confederate Army didn't even do that, motherfuckers. You
feces paint. Just, that's going to be a color. You're going to go into motherfucking Home Depot. Like, can I get that feces?
Went very from the Capitol and rubbed their shit on the walls. They carried a fucking Confederate flag through the rotunda. The Confederate Army didn't even do that, motherfuckers. You went very far. There was a simple question: do you have a country or not? And you said no. My God, man, we're in quite the pickle, aren't we?
Yep, my nigga.
If you could solve a black American's problems, this country would have no problems. You so busy talking about pronouns and this, that, and the other, but this is a very basic wrong. They kidnapped us. They brought us here. They treated us like shit. And all the time that they did that, they were afraid that we would do what you would do in the same situation. But did we storm the halls of the Capitol and rub our shit on the walls? Well, of course not. If that was
feces paint, Dave. Feces paint.
Worked in the same situation. But did we storm the halls of the Capitol and rub our shit on the walls? Well, of course not. If that would have worked, we would have tried it. I know how to solve my problems. You need to know how to solve your problems. You need to know where your power lies. You are Americans, so your power lies in each other.
Facts.
A few weeks ago, I put a special out. I called it Unforgiven. I told people what beef was with Comedy Central. I never talked about it. I demanded that the network pay me.
Mm-hmm.
Many of my peers laughed at me because that's a ridiculous.
Not me, my guy. You already.
Thing to demand. My beef was with Comedy Central. I never talked about it. I demanded that the network pay me. Many of my peers laughed at me because that's a ridiculous thing to demand. They said, well, you signed the contract, so what are you even mad about? Here's the thing. I'm very good at minding my own business. And the trick to minding your own business is knowing what is your business.
Yep.
And these people that talk about me, these cowards that rejoice, well, they don't understand what greatness looks like. I never asked Comedy Central for anything. If you remember, I said, I'm going to my real boss and I came to you because I know where my power lies. I asked you to stop watching the show and thank God Almighty for you. You did. You made that show worthless because without your eyes, it's nothing. True. And when you stopped watching it, they called me.
Yep.
And I got my name back. And I got my license back. And I got my show back. And they paid me millions of dollars. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, my nigga.
When I took 12 years off and you put me right back on top when I came back, I couldn't thank you enough. You have kept me free. I have not had to do what so many of my colleagues have to do because of you. I have no idea what dicks taste like.
Me neither, dog. As I said before, I could be a lot bigger, but I don't suck dick like that. Continue.
Enough. You have kept me free. I have not had to do what so many of my colleagues have to do because of you. I have no idea what dicks taste like. This is a very important moment. I want to thank Ted Sarandos at Netflix, a CEO who had the courage to take my show off its platform at financial detriment to his company just because I asked him. And I want to thank Chris McCarthy of CBS Viacom. This guy is younger than me. And like most people younger than me, has an interest in making the past right and did something that was very courageous. And finally, after all these years, I can finally say to Comedy Central, it's been a pleasure doing business with you.
All right. I mean, that's self-explanatory. So, man, you might get that fist of cuffs in. Chocolate drop a battle after all. Set it up.